Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, the show you'll be talking about in therapy.
That wasn't me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The on-the-field issues and actions and rules and things like that, I would imagine at some point today, they will get to that in depth, correct?
Yes, and actually they did some of that work last night, introduced very late in these negotiations since the lockout began December 2nd. The owners did come back and bring up multiple on-field issues, including a governor on defensive shifts. Most likely one thing that they really have on their wish list is a pitch timer to move the game along quickly. Now, according to current rules, the only way to change on-field rules is with agreement from the union, or you impose those rules a year after notifying what you want those rules to be. Major League Baseball wants to speed up that process to make it a 45-day window, which would enable them, if there is agreement on that, to actually change the rules in the course of the 2022 season. They also have put together a competition committee where they have invited two representatives from the union, two players, to be part of a 9-person committee that would craft whatever rules they want to pick up the pace of play. But there's no question, Matt, that that will be an issue here in the end game. Whether they succeed in getting that through or not is another question.
All right, we're going to start with baseball and the labor negotiations and what I found the most important detail related to the latest developments. That was Tom Verducci this morning. And that is, as he said there, actually putting pace of play and on-field issues into these negotiations. That's a big development. For me, it's the only development I care about. It's the only development most of us care about. As it feels like, and I don't know, again, so I've been away from my computer the last couple hours. If things have changed, please correct me. But it feels to me like they're working their way towards something here, Maz. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think that was the sentiment last night. That just recently, and I don't know which side crossed over the parking lot to go talk to which side, but they just got together within the last, I don't know, 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, 1:28 p.m. Eastern update. League officials heading over to meet with the union for the first time today.
Okay, so they've been doing a lot of their work apparently by phone up to now. My guess is the face-to-face meetings are the ones where offers are really exchanged in front of one another. And what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And can we do something here? So I think these face-to-face meetings are important. But yes, to your point, I was happy to hear that this is still on the table. And there's a lot going on in these talks, but to me, this is the one that fans should be the most focused on. Nobody gives a rat's ass about the Super Twos and arbitration, the luxury tax threshold, you know, the division of the pie, that whole thing. Fans don't care. And they shouldn't. I wouldn't care if I were a fan either. I've had to learn this stuff over the years out of necessity because of free agency and things of the like. But the bottom line is the quality of the product. And so if that is still part of it, I am reasonably encouraged that baseball actually intends to act for once on the product on the field. And I'll just say quickly as an aside, just because I got to get this off my chest, you know what I find most annoying about these negotiations?
What?
I think both sides get off on it. I do. I think they get off on it. I think they get off on the power and on sticking it to the other side, and, you know, the intensity of the talks and everybody watching, people camped out in the parking lot. I think they get off on it. I do.
And that bugs you. Why? Because it's about them and not actually the process,
right?
And
exactly.
What's going on.
It's not for the greater good.
Exactly.
It's posturing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, the goal should be, when you sit down, what is best for the sport? What is best for the sport? And none of them approach it that way.
Yeah, well, right, because for most of them, this is like their arena. This is their Super Bowl. The lawyers, the negotiators, Manfred, these guys, this is, this is go time for them. So maybe they're just sort of reveling in the moment.
Definitely.
and making us all, sit here with our Schmenzer in our hand, as we like to say. But be that as it may, so there you heard it, Verducci, pitch timer. Call pitch clock, pitch timer, I'll take either, pitch timer. That I like that he called it pitch timer.
Mm-hmm.
That means they're calling it pitch timer
mm-hmm.
as opposed to pitch clock. Do the players not like pitch clock?
Maybe.
They prefer timer? Is there something more baseball-y about pitch timer versus pitch clock? I don't care. Call it whatever you want. But I love that he called it pitch timer.
Yeah, I call it whatever you want. Just do it.
Right. So and apparently they are going back and forth on some things, and apparently some things have been settled. Like the playoff format, and this is where I want to start, the playoff format. So, again, but first, quick me if I'm wrong, I feel like they're going to get a deal now.
I'm not 100% convinced, but I feel better about it than I did yesterday.
That they extended it, I thought this was as done. You know, that they extended it late last night. I was like, oh, they'll figure this out.
Just never underestimate baseball's ego and stupidity.
I understand. It's just, I thought, you know, they were going to walk away in a huff yesterday.
Well, it felt that way. I agree. And I would just tell you, though, I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay.
I am also encouraged. I'm not trying to pour cold water on it. I'm just telling you, I'll believe it when I see it.
The playoff format. I can't remember where I cut and pasted this from, but it's according to reports. The league's desire for an expanded postseason field has been evident throughout negotiations. Major League Baseball had pushed to expand from the previous 10-team field to 14 clubs throughout discussions, but the union had resisted that possibility. It seems the league has agreed to settle for 12 teams during this round of negotiations, presumably via adding one more wildcard team in each league. Specific terms of the format being discussed are unclear. Hypothetically, it seems the likeliest scenario would see the top two teams in each league receive a bye through the first round. That would leave the division winner with the worst record and the three wildcard teams in each league playing some kind of series to advance to the second round. Okay? Again, there's three divisions, six playoff teams. The top two teams that won the division get byes. The next four, playoff. They each play against each other in a, what, two out of three, five out of
The thing I saw said a three-game series. Buster only had a tweet a little while ago that said that indications were that first series would be a three-gamer.
Okay. I hate it. So they're now going to take out the best nights in baseball? And I've been on this for years. You know, if you've listened to the show and heard me, how I feel about those one-game wild card play-ins. I think it's the best two nights on the baseball calendar. And frankly, the ratings and the interest back me up. So I know some people don't like it. I'm not telling you to like strawberry when you like chocolate. You like chocolate. I like vanilla. Whatever. I'm not telling you what to like. I'm telling you what has worked. From an interest standpoint, I'm right. And if you disagree with me, you've got a big dump in your pants. Routinely, those wild card play-in games are the highest rated best nights on the baseball calendar. And so now we're going to get rid of those and give me more baseball. You're going to give me another series while two teams sit there for a week. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like the elimination of that either. I wish they had kept it. In fact, I would have gone so far as to say one bye and then keep one playoff game in each side. You want to go to three games after that, too? But, you know, I don't want to bog it down with too many details. But instead of giving two byes, if you had given one, you could keep the playoff game.
And then you have three one-gamers?
No, you'd have one and then play three-game series, but you'd still maintain it at the very least.
You following this, Murray?
A little bit. So you're almost saying, like, the second round of the wild card would be a three-game series, but the first round would be a one-gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Three one-game. No?
No. You would keep. There'd still be a one-game play-in. There'd still be a one-game play-in. But
it's uncanny.
Yeah, I don't want to bog it down too much. So look, I also want the one-gamer is the point. Let's stick to that. I'd want the one-gamer. And they're not going to be, it doesn't sound like they're going to keep it. And I think that that is a loss.
That's bad for the game.
But,
like, you want to expand it. I'm sorry to cut you off. So I see, like, they're expanding it, making more teams. Fine. Like, you know, more, I think, is ultimately good for everybody. But those should be one gamers.
Well, you know why they're doing it this way. More games means more money.
Sure.
I mean, they're going to get an extra $100 million out of ESPN for the playoffs. So that's what, you know, that's what it's all driving it. They get more games. ESPN will toss in another, you know, and I think it's $85 million or something approaching $100 million, somewhere in that area.
They just don't get... Does anyone get that less is more? Does anyone get it? No one gets it. I've been on this for a long time, and it transcends just sports. Can someone make a movie now that's under 2 hours and 15 minutes? What? Why does every movie have to be 2.5? Don't you understand?
2.5, 2:59. They're over 3 hours, all these effing things.
Don't you understand? The work is in editing, and the work is in giving you a tighter, and the only thing that's worth 4 hours is Felger and Maz. Okay? I've said that. But so less is more. So more baseball is not better for baseball. Less is more. The only sport that can give us a little more, I think, is football. A little. But either way, so those one-game wildcard play-ins are the best. Do you know what is the night and the game that I think finally got the Red Sox back on the map here in Boston? Red Sox, Yankees. Red Sox, Yankees, one-game wildcard play-in. That was the game that woke everybody up, that it was... Now, you know, and not just your internet clips and not just all these little ancillary things that you're telling me. You know, I was told that the Red Sox had all this buzz, and I never felt it till that game. I never felt it till that game. Let me just give an example here. The ALDS ratings against the Tampa Bay Rays. Okay. I'll give you that was a that lasted four games. Okay. The first three games of that series. Game one did a 10-4. Game two did an 11-4. Game three did a 14-9. Okay, 10-11-15, call it. You know what Red Sox-Yankees did?
20?
Just under a 20, 19-8. Okay, now game four of the Tampa series did a 20 also. It was the clincher. But you go to that Houston series, game one did a 19-1, 17-1. Okay, the wild card play-in game was box office. It was and when you got back into the series, it was up and down, some good nights, some bad nights. Those one-game wild-card play-ins are the best night on the baseball calendar. And now they're going to get rid of them? I hate it. I hate it. Less is more, guys. Less is more. And furthermore, there was this whole thing about giving a team a ghost win. A ghost win. So, again, well, you know what? Let's just break here. Maz is going to explain to me what he was talking about before.
So I think I've confused myself now.
So we don't do it on the air? Like, why do we do it every time? Why do we do it? Save the math for off the air. Why every time? And I think you're way more guilty of it than I am.
I think it makes for good content.
Just let it go.
I like the content.
Just let it go. In the break.
Thank you, Murray.
In the break, let me know. But when we all got one thing and we have the number, even if it's wrong, let's just go with it and then correct it off the air.
I gotta do it on paper.
That did confuse me.
Six teams aside, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you were talking about. Do it off the air. How do you feel about them losing those one-game wildcard play-ins? How do you feel about 12 teams in the postseason? Did you want 14? 14 sounds a little silly. Also, come up with the wild card play-in format with the 14 teams, Maz, while you're working on it. How do you feel about that many teams in the playoffs? 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Felger
Booger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Torres sends it fly ball out to right. Hunter Renfro's got it, and the Red Sox have a date with the Rays. A Red Sox team that missed the expanded postseason altogether just a year ago, finishing 24-36. Playing in their first ever wild card game. They previously played as a wild card team that advanced all the way to a series. But in terms of the single elimination night, Boston into uncharted territory, and they come out of it a winner.
That's the best night of baseball around here. I want to say that that Red Sox-Yankees game was the most impactful night of baseball here in about 4 years.
Oh, it was up there.
Since the World Series in 2018, I'm sorry, it was. And I, you know, the team or like the Barstool babies can give me as much data as they want about how, you know, how popular the Red Sox were last year. I never felt it, saw it until that night against the Yankees. And then it kind of took off. I mean, the Red Sox, you know, pumped up their ratings during the year, which really just weren't all that good. They weren't. They were up from the pandemic year, like, right, congratulations, but they weren't up all that much from 2019, and they were down from 2018 the last time they were really good.
Mike, there was a late season series with the Yankees during the regular season. If you remember, the Yankees came in here and the Red Sox got swept. You remember that?
Yes, of course.
That series, I remember at the time saying to myself, boy, the interest in that series is a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. And if I remember right, the average TV ratings for those games was about a 5.5, which for Red Sox-Yankees is absurdly low. Now, look, it was higher than other stuff they did during the course of the year, but 5.5 for that, I thought they'd get more bang for their buck in that series, and they didn't.
In 2018, their men 25 to 54 number was 3.6. Last year, their men 25 to 54 number was 2.16. So it's like...
it's a 50% drop.
I mean, they just really weren't that good. They were up from the pandemic year, but they just... their ratings weren't that good. Then they got to that Yankee game. Boom. Box office. It did a 20 in that game. And the men 25-54 number was good as well. And it's like from there, they kind of took off, and you kind of, for the first time in a long time, felt it. Red Sox. Heartbeat of the city. Like that sort of thing. And it was great. And it was sparked by that Red Sox-Yankees one-game wild card playing. And now what? We're going to get a series? It's going to dilute it. You should. That was the best night on the baseball calendar, and they're going to kill it?
I mean, you could feel it that night, too, from the second that the game, you turned the game on. The ballpark was wired. That night was a good night. And then Bogaerts homered in the first inning, if I remember right, in that game. It went into the center field seats, and the place just started rocking and stayed that way the whole night.
Yankees Red Sox wild card game, household rating 19.8. The series against Tampa averaged a 14.2. The ALCS to go to the World Series averaged 19 flat. The one game wild card play-in outrated both the DS and then the ALCS for the pennant. So it's like, and I know you got more games in the series and there's more inventory there, so it's probably better for the league, but geez, those one game wild card play-ins are box office, and I hate to see them get rid of them, but it feels like they're going to get rid of them.
Yeah, it does. And again, naturally, I butchered the math.
Go ahead.
Okay, I completely butchered it. I had the 7-game scenario in my head. There is no real scenario.
The 7-team scenario.
Yeah, 7-team scenario, right, where you could have had 3-1 game play-ins,
which
you could have maintained them.
And as much as I love the one game wild card round, having 6 of the 7 teams play a one gamer, that's, even for me, that's too much.
I like it.
Okay, I mean,
I do like these because you still preserve the 5-game series in the second round. You'd still have that. Like, and I, you know, to me, it also puts real value on that top seed, right? So now you got to play to win as many games as you can during the regular season. Like, you're the only one that's not playing that play-in game. I like that. But, you know,
well, again, that gives more meaning to the regular season,
yes,
which is what they're risking doing by having so many playoff teams and now having teams that are in a series.
So 12 is the right number for playoffs if they want to expand. 14's too many. 14 is too many.
What I found interesting is that that the players were opposed to it not because they didn't want to play extra playoff games. It's that, well, here it is. There's a high degree of variability in the MLB postseason, meaning it's a crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
Just make the tournament, anyone can win. So there's a high degree of variability. Just last year, the playoff team with the worst regular season record won the World Series. The Braves had the worst record of any team in the postseason.
Correct.
And the union fears that under a 14-team system, front offices might be content to build marginally above-average rosters and just let the chips fall where they may once the playoffs begin. And that could have a trickle-down effect of diminishing free agent spending, one with which the MLBPA was surely uncomfortable. So do you get it? It's like teams are going to say, well, just get to the middle of the pack and you have as good a shot as anyone. If you have 14 teams make it, just get to right in the middle of the league and then roll the dice in the postseason. It's a crapshoot after that, so I don't need to go spend on that free agent. I don't need to go at the trade deadline and add payroll here. I don't need to spend on this guy or that guy. I'm just trying to get to the 14 seed because the 10 seed just won last year, whatever it is. And so that's why the players were against it, which is kind of annoying. Like, that's really sort of circumcising the mosquito.
I'll tell you what, though. They're probably right. Because a lot of teams will justify their existence by saying, well, we got into the playoffs. Well, yeah, you were the 14 seed. Yeah, but we got into the playoffs. I mean, they do it now, Mike.
Oh, hell, the Bruins did it for 30 years.
Right? So they do it now. They skimp now to just, you know, stay in contention and feed their fan base some sort of load of crap that they can then market, even though it's not reality. So I don't totally disagree with the players on that one.
Okay, so the playoff format's one thing. And just the, you know, the importance of them getting a deal today and not losing games. You know, I am not among those who feel that this would kill the game. And I don't feel the game is quote-unquote dying. Because it is still a very highly producing revenue sport. And it's not going anywhere. So I'm not one of those guys. But I do think the game has real problems. Which, you know, we've enumerated a lot here on this show. And I do think losing games would sort of blanch the momentum that the Red Sox did start and that began with that wild card game last year. Real momentum. And I think it would sort of halt it in its tracks and they'd get it back eventually. It's not going to kill the game. But I think the Red Sox were working with something there and had a little something going, in other words.
I mean, there might not be many markets, if any, more important that this bargaining session or negotiation is more important to than the Red Sox. Like, really? They have a lot at stake. They got some people back last year. So think of the seesaw this thing has been over the last couple of years. You went from the scandal, Sale being hurt, Price and Betts being traded. Then, did I mention Cora getting fired?
Yes, sure.
Okay, all of that. You went from all of that to 24-36 to Cora coming back, making a run in the ALCS, and then you're going to have a work stoppage? After that whole thing, they come back to life. There was, you know, again, not everyone came back, but a good chunk of people did. And there was life breathed into it again. And you're going to have a work stoppage and miss the start of the season when nobody even knows who half the players on the team are right now? Oh, yeah, it'd be devastating for this market, for this franchise.
And does it frustrate you as a fan out there that John Henry's probably one of the Hawks? I mean, it's hard to know exactly now what's going on, but he hates the luxury tax, always has, right? He hates
revenue sharing.
I'm sorry, revenue sharing more than anything. He actually is recently gotten under the tax and is okay being a non-tax paying team. It's the revenue, you know, it's the system that he had a problem with helping out small market teams. But again, baseball will be back. It's not going anywhere and it's not going to die if they lose games. But there was real momentum with that Red Sox team at the end of the year in the playoffs. I think it was sparked by that one game wild card round. So I'm frustrated that they're going to lose that one game wild card round. And I think that's not a good move, but it feels like the direction of the thing. But I also feel like they're going to get some sort of deal today. And that's good for them because they got something going last year. And if they lose games, they're going to lose some momentum. It'll take them a while to get it back.
Mike, to your point, the game always gets in its own way. Anytime they get it rolling, anytime they start to build momentum, Anytime there's an opportunity for them to seize the stage and grab people's attention, they get in their own way.
Okay, the very latest. There has been a development in the last 10 minutes. Big Jim Murray has it for you here in the update that I promise. Right to your calls.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, to your calls, as it feels like to me, the MLB and the union are headed to an agreement.
Well,
again, so well, again to me, but Maz, what is the latest there?
Okay, Adam Murray, I don't know if you saw the same thing I did. Bob Nightingale, about 10 minutes ago, and again, Nightingale's covered the game for a long, long time. Big gaps still remain on several economic issues after counterproposal. Nightingale reports he's now with USA Today.
Okay, so they're still going back and forth. I mean, I know Maz, baseball can't get out of their own way. I'd still be surprised if they went all night last night. They were like until 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah, it was like 2:00. Yeah.
Okay, and then to come back at it today and spend another 7 hours or whatever it is today, and then at the end of it say, no, that's it, F you.
I think that would be totally like them. I do. I think it would be totally like them.
Either way, they're starting to bore down on a playoff format that I don't like. I don't like that they're going to get rid of the one game wild card play-ins. What do you think? Stu in Rhode Island, lead us off.
Hey, I love that game. I hadn't watched any baseball all year. I don't have as much time to watch sports as I used to, but I used to watch all the playoff games. I would watch most Red Sox games. So I tuned in and I loved it. Of course I loved it. It was a great game. I watched for the rest of the postseason.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you go. Instant urgency. After that long slog of a baseball season where there's so many games that just don't matter and how the game's, you know, ground to a halt as it is. Just, it's a tough watch. There's so much to watch. It just grinds and drags. Then the season ends and bang, here we go. Every pitch matters, edge of your seat. It's the best. It's the best thing any sports league has done when it comes to scheduling or playoff format in maybe my lifetime. I thought it was an absolute grand slam home run. And the numbers bear me out. And then get rid of it. To give me another series, maybe a 5-game series with potentially a ghost win added in there, which again, just quickly, not to give you a popsicle headache, if there's 12 teams, 6 teams per league, okay, the top 2 teams get a bye, that leaves 1 division winner who's going to play in the wild card round. So whether that's a 3-game series or a 5-game series, they're considering giving that division winner as a reward for winning the division versus being one of the 3 wild cards, a 1-game lead in whatever series they're playing in. So if you play a 5-game series and you've won your division and you're playing in that wild card round, if you will, you're up 1-0 to start the series.
Right. Effectively start the series in game 2.
They give you a ghost win.
Ooh.
It's Geister win.
Geister spiel win.
Exactly. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Just play the game.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I think that one's going to get tossed, or if it hasn't been already. But that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We're going to give you a win in the playoffs. So can that team claim a playoff victory?
And doesn't that also
is that the deal?
And doesn't
that's the stupidest thing ever?
It also reeks of the nerds and how they've taken over the game. Well, statistically speaking, they would have already won this game. So we'll speed things along because, again, statistically speaking, if you break it down, this team would be leading the series 1-0. Oh, just play it.
They're just trying to square the inequity of a division winner being on the same footing as a wild card team.
Right, and I would say then win more games than the other division winner.
There is
no equity in the playoffs. That's the point.
And this is my thing with the one game played. Well, you play 162 to only settle it in one. That's not fair. I don't care if it's fair. I'm not looking for fair. I'm looking for interesting. That sport more than any other. You should be looking for interesting versus what's fair. So, nope, it's not quite fair to play 162 and then settle it in one game. But it sure is fun, isn't it? How was that Yankees-Red Sox game last year? Sean in Munson. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I completely agree with you, Felger. And the whole fair thing, I mean, just get rid of that completely. Because anyone who knows the sport remembers back in 1990 or 1991 when Atlanta came down to it with Pittsburgh, that was like a one-game like playoff.
Just yes, it's instant Game 7. Game 7s are the best. That's instant Game 7. Right out of the chute. Bang. Right out. No warm-up, no lead-in, no slow build. Immediately, here you go, Game 7. The Tuesday after the regular season ends. Brilliant. And now we're going to lose it. We're going to have another series? Another drawn-out series?
Better hope they all go 3.
Dan in Wakefield. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, real quick, Felga. The feeling I had, I went to the playoff game with the Yankees. Me and my son went. And the feeling that before the game at the park and just inside was electric. And it reminded me back when Schilling had the blood on the sock. It had that feeling to it. And it was so worthwhile going that we went to another Tampa game after that. And to get rid of that one game playoff, it's going to be bad, I think.
I'm telling you, that Yankee game energized the city.
Yeah, it was huge.
I mean, I was going to say energized the fan base. The fan base was there. Fans are fans. So the Red Sox fans were already there. But like the rest of us, like the city at large, that game woke everybody up.
Yeah, look, it was huge for them. And, you know, they were going to end up in that game regardless the way the season turned out because they were going to catch Tampa and have it be New York. On top of it was a huge factor. And again, from the moment that game came on the air, you could feel the ballpark was alive. And it hadn't been that way in a long, long time. Giving up that one game playoff in any market. That's a big loss.
So that game, again, did a 19-8. That wasn't their highest-rated postseason game, but it was higher than the first three games of the divisional series. It was a higher-rated game than Game 6 of the ALCS. More people watched Red Sox-Yankees than Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. And you're going to lose something if you lose that game. Sean in Stoneham. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call, Felger. So I'm 30 years old. So you know I lived through that prime era of baseball. You know from like 98 to 06, 07. And I'm sorry, like I have to disagree. I mean I think the sport is dying. I mean I couldn't be less interested. That one game playoff is maybe the one thing that even gives me a little interest because that Yankee game last year it was electric. But truth be told, like I couldn't care less about baseball, and all these negotiations and everything, it really is just a microcosm. It really just sums up like how where the game is at. I mean,
okay,
Sean, me and my friends just don't care about the game.
So it's dying for you and your friends, but it's not dying. So they've lost you, and they've lost a lot of fans, but that doesn't mean it's dead.
It's wounded, though.
It doesn't mean it's done, but I don't think it's going to die.
No, to say it's going to die is just overdramatic. It's never going to die, but it's going to take a hit. It has taken a hit.
So it's definitely taken a hit.
It's taken a hit in terms of passion is what I think it is. Because, again, the revenue numbers are great. It's a great business. I had this debate last night on TV. It's like it's the second highest revenue-producing sport in the world, I think. It's between them and the Premier League. NFL's number one, and then it's Premier League soccer and baseball. Baseball's number two in the country. Like, and it's never lost that footing. It was number one, and then football surpassed it, but it's never fallen beyond number two. They make it's a tremendous business. They draw a ton of people to ballparks across the country. The regional sports networks are extremely lucrative. And all the streaming stuff now, all great revenue for them, and the gambling stuff. It's got great business. So that business isn't dying. And you all still go to the games. And the household numbers on Nesson are pretty good. But when you bore down, you know, the demos are not good. And the passion and, like, interest level is definitely waning. But that doesn't mean the sport's dying. It's just waning. And that's what it is. It's definitely, you know, some people have definitely left the sport, but not everyone has. And it's still a force in the town when it deserves to be, like it did last year when you got to the postseason. It was the number one story in town, and it deserved to be. And it can still get to that spot. And even if they lose games, it'll get back to that spot.
Yeah, they just, to me, the big thing with the sport is the product is not compelling. And so they need to make the product more compelling. It'll never be what it was. Okay, particularly here. There's too many variables in there to make it what it was as they were chasing a championship. But the product, I'm talking about the actual game on the field on a daily basis, needs major improvement.
Yeah, now, so it could slide further. It could slide behind the NBA in terms of revenue and, you know, officially the number three sport in the country. It could. It could fall behind. It's not there yet. But it could fall behind the NBA if they don't turn the game around. And I agree with that strongly. And so maybe they're starting to talk about that. Like, that's, again, that's sort of the word there, that these things have finally gotten on the table here at the very end of their negotiations. We'll pick this up on the other side in a long commercial-free segment with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, they went actually about 16 and a half hours, and we have progress, finally. Now, no deal, and the union says we're not really that close. We're far apart on the competitive balance tax, minimum salaries, and a few other issues, including that pre-arbitration bonus pool. But the conversations were good, and there were progress made in other areas as well. It's likely to be a 12-team postseason at this point. The league today offered a choice, 12-team postseason or 14-team postseason to the union. Now, they're sets of different economic proposals within those two, but it sounds like the union prefers that 12-team postseason. So they'll go back and forth again on Tuesday as the league has extended a deadline. Initially, they said if a deal wasn't done by Monday, they'd start canceling regular season games. At the end of the night here, they decided, hey, we'll extend that to 5 p.m. on Tuesday. If no deal is done by then, we'll start canceling regular season games at that point.
All right, we're sitting here at 2:52 in the afternoon, so we got just over, Maz, 2 hours now before they start canceling games.
I mean, I'm chuckling because it's like they can never, ever not go to the last minute. And in this case, they obviously extended it. And I'm telling you, it would be totally like these guys to extend it a day and let everyone think, ooh, they're getting close, so they're going to extend it. and then walk away from each other at the end of it.
Well, do you want the latest that speaks to what you're saying?
Sure, of course.
Bob Nightingale, 2 minutes ago, the abundance of optimism that prevailed from Major League Baseball last night has waned today. Just a little more than 2 hours remain before MLB's self-imposed 5 p.m. deadline.
I'm telling you, it'd be totally like them to get to a certain point and get, you know, like they're making progress. We can debate whether or not they are, quote unquote, close.
Yeah.
But they're making progress and then say, F it, we're done.
See There's ya. This from Andy Martino, who covers the Yankees and Mets in New York. Kind of a white-knuckle moment. Some of the sources on both player and ownership side, who were very optimistic until like 3 a.m., are worried now about a deal. The Players Association has been consistent all along that they are far apart on substance while allowing that owners want a deal.
So the latest proposal came from the players to the owners, and the gap was still sizable, which means the owners thought the players are going to come back with something that was a little bit more in line with what they had offered, and they didn't. And they said, you got to be kidding me. They're still squeezing. They're still squeezing. So they're rolling their eyes back there. They're probably blaming Boris. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And they said, well, what do we do now? So now it's in the owner's court, right? Are they going to move again? Like, it's, and at what point do the players make a little bit of a jump? Well, you got 2 hours, fellas. You better figure it out fast.
2 hours and 6 minutes. We got our finger on the button. As soon as things break, you'll hear it. Until then, we discussed it. Jesse Rogers, ESPN, that cut coming back. 12-team playoff format. They wanted 14, they being the owners. 14 would have been too much. You still got to preserve the meaning of the regular season, which is another reason why I like the one-game play-in. No one wants the one-game play-in. I mean, I want it as a fan, as a team. You don't want to have to play the one-game play-in. So there was some incentive there. And now if it's there's more series, it just sort of dilutes the thing, and really what's the diff being a wild card or a, you know, certainly if again their current format, the one being proposed, 6 teams in each league, the first 2 teams, teams with the best 2 records, division winners, get byes. That's a great incentive.
Yep.
But the rest, you know, 3 through 6, what's the diff? Win the division, be a wild card, what it makes no difference. And so I don't like that. But anyway, back to your phones. Never mind the ghost games, the ghost win. Mike and Ashland, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, so I think the 3-game series is a bad idea, but if they're going to do it anyway, the ghost win will preserve you more of the 1-game play-in. Because if you only need 2 games to win a 3-game series and you've got one in your pocket, every game is potential sudden elimination.
You know, I got to tell you, Mike, and thank you for the call. As Maz and Murray says, I don't hate the ghost game. I don't. I mean, it's goofy. It's gimmicky,
ooh,
but it's scary, but I need less, not more, right? So anything that gives me more urgency and less drawn out baseball, I'm for. So the ghost win, the ghost game does give me more urgency. It does.
Yeah,
so
but you're
I
also.
I see what you're saying, because as the caller said, every game in that series then becomes an elimination game.
Game one is a potential elimination game.
Okay, but the scenario I saw, and you tell me if I'm wrong, was that the ghost game thing would only come in a 5-game series, not a 3-game series.
Right, I saw a bunch of different things, but if it's a ghost game in the 5-game series, a little less urgency. But whatever. Less is more.
Okay, so let me
less is more.
So let me say it this way then. The ghost game in the 5-game series is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's still
that's stupid.
It's still a short series. And as Mr. Scoreboard, wouldn't you say, like, well, how'd you get there? Oh, it was gifted to him by the ghost.
No.
Like, it's just stupid.
No, they won the division, so they get the gift of the ghost. That's it. That's their reward for winning the division and not being one of these schlub wildcard teams. They won their division. There's got to be some incentive other than home field.
You get
field.
Home field.
Oh, who cares? It's baseball.
Yeah, it's just like when we were kids, though. We have a ghost runner run section.
Chris in Baltimore. Go ahead, Chris.
Same concept.
Hey, guys. So I think it's inevitable that the owners go to 7 teams, but I think the only way to make it fair and to still keep the regular season important with the division winners is to do a wild card ladder. So you would have 6 host 7. That winner the next day goes and plays 5.
Yeah.
And then that winner goes and plays 4. And then that's wild card.
Okay.
Division winners still get.
Chris, do me a favor. Write that out for me, okay? And fax it to us. We have a fax number.
Email it.
I don't know what the fax number is, but I'll get it for you.
Yeah, just email it.
Fax in the proposal.
Yeah.
No, so the only cockamamie proposals we're going to discuss today is our cockamamie proposals. We're not talking about yours.
Yeah, the ghost ladder.
The ladder.
Oh, the wild card ladder.
Well, but isn't the NBA play-in thing kind of a ladder-ish? It's kind of that concept.
It just introduces a term that I don't need to add in. Like,
whatever gives me less is more. Whatever gives me more urgency, more elimination games. The one game wild card play-in was perfect. It was the perfect wake-up call from a long slog of a baseball season where not many games mattered, and it was a grind to get through it, and the season ended on Sunday, and then on Tuesday, bang, pitch one, game seven, elimination, someone's going home.
It's the only cool thing baseball's done since the steroid freak show.
No,
it really
it's true,
is.
Though, Murray, it is, because you go to an all-out sprint right away. Right, the whole which is the worst part about the baseball season is not only is it long, but they manage it as something long. So they're willing to sacrifice games along the way for the long haul, which I get. I mean, it's logical. I'm not blaming the managers per se, but as a fan, what makes you want to watch a game that a team is basically throwing away on purpose?
Paul in North Attleboro has a thought for us. Hi, Paul.
Hey guys. So this is how you get rid of the ghost game. You have the top three division winners.
Hold on. What did I just say?
Yeah, I want to talk about my ghost.
Paul's been on the line. You're grandfathered in.
Fax it.
We're not taking any more cockamamie proposals after Paul, but Paul, you're grandfathered in. Go ahead.
All right. So the top three division winners, the bottom two play each other in a one game playoff to see who gets the second bye.
Uh-huh. I understand.
Oh, I like that.
No, I mean,
you get the.
Yeah, I get it. You're still creating more baseball. It's like.
Actually, right, because you don't get eliminated. That's no good.
It's not an elimination game. It's a game for seeding. And then it's like, do you use your good pitchers just for seeding? Or it's, you only empty the bucket when it's an elimination. That's what makes that wild card game so good. Everyone's available. You empty the bucket. You do everything you can to win that game. Those are the best baseball games. And so I want more of those, not less of those. And that's what I think the change of the proposal is going to do.
The game has needed more urgency for a long, long time. And that one game playoff did provide it. It did.
Okay. Updates. This is the lead story today where we're going to have an agreement. Are we not? Are we going to lose games? Are we not? And what makes it more compelling today is that I think there are some on-field things on the table. That Verducci reported it. Others have reported it. The owners here at the very last minute have started to include in their proposals items that address the game, pitch timer, as Verducci said, illegal shifts, the 12-team playoff format and what it's going to look like and ghost wins and all of this. So they're attaching that to their economic proposals and finally what we wanted them to do, they're doing. And so that's what I find interesting about the latest. So we'll do this all day. Updates are there available. I do have a couple Bruins thoughts for you off of last night's blowout win in Los Angeles. We'll get an update first here from Big Jim. There are no commercials, and then we're right back.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
In
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.